Here we see the fourth tragedy in our series on the greatest tragedies. Thus far, we have seen the tragedy of sin, the tragedy of the flood, the tragedy of Sodom. Today, we see a tragedy which involves the children of Israel. And I will refer to it as the tragedy in the wilderness. What happened here? Well, the children of Israel had been told by the Lord to go up and possess the land that God had promised to Abraham and his descendants. Before going in and actually possessing the land, the children of Israel decided to send in 12 spies to search out the land. For 40 days, the spies searched out the land. When they returned, 10 spies brought back what the Bible calls an evil report. The other two spies, Joshua and Caleb, advised that the congregation move forward and possess the land that God had given them. Now the people became discouraged because of the evil report, even, and began murmuring. And it got to a point where they were ready to stone their leaders and return to Egypt. You see, they refused to move forward and possess the land. I turn our attention to the book of Numbers in chapter 14. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, the Lord had this to say to Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shewed among them. You see, God was ready to do a Sodom and Gomorrah number on them. That is, he was going to make a swift and decisive end to them, and then use Moses to bring to pass his promise to Abraham. Moses, however, intervened on the behalf of the children of Israel. The result was this, that God let those who were 20 years of age live their lives out in the wilderness, but they never got to enter the promised land. In the book of Numbers, chapter 1 with me, in verses 45 to 46, the Word of God says this, so were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. Even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550. So we see here in Numbers chapter 1, in verses 45 to 46, we are told that the number of men aged 20 and up was 603,550. Now, if you consider that most of these men probably had a wife of a similar age, that makes approximately 1.2 million who wandered in the wilderness and died there. It took 40 years for this to happen. What's interesting, 1 year for every day that the spies searched the land. What a tragedy. What a tragedy to have come up out of Egypt's bondage and to have seen God work in many miraculous ways, and then to not be able to fulfill God's promise for their lives was an awful tragedy. But think with me. Today, there are people who get saved and see God work in many miraculous ways also, but then live their lives out never having fulfilled God's purpose, the abundant life. If you think about it, what a tragedy that is also. So let's look at this tragedy in the wilderness in what we can learn. First, I want to say this. This tragedy came because of rebellion. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 1. In Deuteronomy, chapter number 1, look with me at verse 26. This is what the words of God say. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. You see, my dear friend, rebellion is the brother of pride and arrogance that we mentioned last week. It comes from a heart that lifts itself up against God rather than humbling itself before God. Notice what the Word of God says about rebellion in 1 Samuel, if you would. 1 Samuel with me. In chapter number 15. 1 Samuel 15, and we want to look at verse number 23. And this is what the Word of God says. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You see, it is just as bad to set up other gods and worship them as it is to live in disobedience to the true God. Those who are governed by their own corrupt ideas and imaginations in opposition to the command of God are no better than those who consult a witch. You see, this is how God views the matter of rebellion. Now, we're looking at this tragedy. This tragedy came because of rebellion. And I want to look at under this a couple of things. First of all, rebellion denies God's authority over our lives. You see, God is sovereign. But rebellion says, I'll do my own thing, I'll control mine own destiny, I'll do what I think is right for me. The children of Israel feared the inhabitants of the promised land more than they feared God. I ask you, how crazy is that? Notice what the Word of God says with me in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter number 10. In Matthew chapter 10, I direct your attention to verse 28. And this is what the Word of God has to say. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now the inhabitants of the promised land maybe would have been able to, amen, kill the body of the children of Israel, but they couldn't destroy the soul. Only God can do both. And so they needed, and we need to fear God Amen. And not fear man, what man can do to us. Again, the second thing about rebellion I want us to see is rebellion denies God's sufficiency in our lives. See, rebellion denies God's sufficiency in our lives. What rebellion says is this: God is not enough. But God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God knew what the children of Israel would face in the Promised Land. And God told them to move forward and conquer. Now, God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God said that He would fight for the children of Israel. But they reacted as if they were going to be expected to fight in their own power. And then God is omnipresent. He's ever present. Now, God said that He would go with the children of Israel. Amen. But they reacted as if God was sending them to the slaughter and staying behind. So, first of all, we see this tragedy of the children wandering in the wilderness. This was because of rebellion. And we looked at a couple of things. Rebellion denies God's authority over our lives, and rebellion denies God's sufficiency in our lives. Now, the second thing about this tragedy is this tragedy came because of murmuring. This tragedy came because of murmuring. First thing we want to see about murmuring is they murmured, the children of Israel, they murmured privately. Look in Deuteronomy. We go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And we want to look at verse 27. And notice what the Word of God has here to say. And you murmured in your tents. See that? And said, because the Lord hated us, He has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. It says, ye murmured in your tents. They murmured privately. Now, the Hebrew word translated murmur here means to grumble. So we see that when they were in their own tents, they murmured, amen, against God privately. But and then, second of all, they murmured publicly. Publicly. Look in Numbers with me, chapter 14. In Numbers 14, if you would. In Numbers 14, let's look at verse 2 and see what the Word of God has to say. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Now, the Hebrew word translated murmured here means to be obstinate and to complain. So we see they murmured, the children of Israel murmured privately, publicly, and they murmured perversively. They murmured perversively. Amen. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1 again. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we want to look at verse 28. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28, the Word of God says, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim's there. Now, what do I mean that they murmured perversively? What do I mean by perversively? Well, it spread throughout the whole congregation. It began with 10 men. And it ended up spreading to everyone except Moses, Caleb, and Joshua. Now look in Numbers with me, if you would. Chapter 14. Numbers 14. I want us to look at verse number 36. Numbers 14, verse 36. This is what the Word of God said. In the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. So now it's spread to the whole congregation. The other thing is, the next thing I want us to look at is they murmured presumptuously. They murmured presumptuously. They said this, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us, Deuteronomy 1:27. In other words, it's saying the reason he brought us up, God brought us up, was to out of Egypt, was to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. And that's not the case. Amen. We know that's not the case. He brought them up to bring them into the promised land. Numbers 14, verse 3, the Word of God says this. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Again, here they're murmuring presumptuously. Amen. Also, they murmured perversely. They murmured perversely. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I want us to look at verses 30 and 31. And the Word of God has this to say. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that you went until you came into this place. See, any time you speak against God, you don't know what you're talking about. They saw their murmurings as being against Moses and Aaron, but they were against God. Amen. Now, last thing I want to see about the murmuring that brought about this tragedy is they murmured provokingly. They murmured provokingly. To provoke means to scorn. Looking in back in Numbers chapter 14, in verse number 2, we read in the Word of God, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would to God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And the thing we want to notice, this was not the first time that they had murmured against God. How ironic it is that they tempted the Lord 10 times. Amen. The same as Pharaoh. In Psalm 78, it talks of all God had done for Israel in redeeming them from the bondage of Egypt and bringing them miraculously through the Red Sea and providing the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to guide them and giving them water in the wilderness. But notice what it says in verses 17 and 18 of Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verses 17 and 18. The Word of God has this to say, and they send yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Notice also in verses 40 to 42 here in Psalm 78 what the Word of God has to say. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand or the day when he delivered them from the enemy. So we've seen so far that, first of all, tragedy came because of rebellion. Second, we've looked at tragedy became because of murmuring. And then we want to see how tragedy came because of unbelief. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 32, the Word of God says this: Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. And in Numbers chapter 14, verse 22, Numbers 14, verse 22, God says to the children of Israel that they have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Psalm 106, verse 25 says that they hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. Hearken not means they did not hear intelligently. You see, it's possible to hear with the ears and yet not hear. It's possible to see with the eyes and yet not see. For example, folks see and hear the evidence for God all the time, yet they don't see or hear. Remember how I said that in Psalm 78 rehearses what God had done for Israel from the land of Egypt and all the way through the wilderness? Psalm 78, verse 22 says, They believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. In spite of how God provided water from the rock for them to drink and manna from heaven for them. And in Psalm 78, verse 32, it says, For all this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. Turn to Psalm 106 with me, if you would, please. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Drop down to verse 13. They soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel. Verses 21 to 22. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. In verses 24 to 26 here in Psalm 106, Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we're reminded, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see this tragedy came because of unbelief. This tragedy came because of rebellion. This tragedy, amen, came because of murmuring. Now, the New Testament speaks about the things that happened to Israel in how they relate to us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians number 10, In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, let's look at verses 1 to 13 together. The Word of God says this, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye adulterers, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." These three things, rebellion, murmuring, and unbelief, are still with us today. In fact, I would venture to say that most every problem in churches today is related to these three things. It brought tragedy to the children of Israel, and it can bring tragedy in the church. Let me ask you, are you living your life in rebellion against God? Now, if you're not saved, you definitely are. If you are saved, it is still possible that you are, if you're not allowing Him to be Lord of your life. Do you have a problem with murmuring? See, murmuring can start in secret, but it will work its way out. Murmuring spreads like a communicable disease. Murmuring against a spiritual leader is ultimately murmuring against God. My friend, instead of murmuring, why not pray? Do you have a problem with unbelief? Amen. God has shown Himself to be a great God. Over and over and over again, He's worked in our lives. And still, we fail to believe Him. We fail to stand on the very promises of God. Maybe it's because we don't read the Word of God like we should too. Amen. Why not just trust in Him as He's told us to? You see, God has a will for your life. Do you know what it is, my friend? Have you asked Him? Have you sought His face? Have you got down on your knees and said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And if you do know His will for your life, are you doing it? That's all the time we have today on the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.